This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. I've got, five chapters of The Star Seeds of Earth on the way for you on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, chapters 51, 52, 53, 54, and 55. About 17 minutes of story time. So again, we're still in the midst of some chapters that are on the very short side as we shift scenes pretty quickly. But hey, what's important here is Alibi Jones has got himself a starseed. He's now back at the Hornet's Nest, figuring out his next steps, and Kit has sensed his brother Cat may still be alive somehow. So we're going to be having to look into that in just a bit here. We're going to check in with Alibi and Hap and Ruth. We've got Anita and Billy Gentry waiting in the wings here, and someone who distracts Anita as well. Finder is in the brig at the Hornet's Nest, so we'll check in on him. There's a lot to get to on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, I actually put out a new book this week, although I have to caution you, it's not a science fiction book. It's Doodlerama, a coloring book for adults with doodle designs by Mike Luoma. It's on sale now at Amazon worldwide. Put it out through the Monster, but, you know, they can do these sort of things, so. I'm seeing what people think, and I did do a Doodlerama book a while back, in like 2009, some of my early doodle designs. I used to have a Doodlerama website, even, short-lived site, where I was showing them off back in the aughts, couple of years from like 2007 through 2009, something like that. Now, nobody really showed any interest in them back then, but now I'm selling a bunch of coloring books. So, book one sells, I'll keep putting some out. I've got a bunch of designs from over the years that I've been saving up that I have here, so scan them in and see if folks like them. Just $4.99 for 25 designs to color for the first one, and it is available again at Amazon, a 50-page paperback. Each design is on its own page, nothing on the back. So again, that's Doodlerama, the coloring book for grown-ups. Other news, I just finished my taxes. I'm not going to get anything back, so I don't do them until late, but I start to get anxiety attacks when I haven't got them done by this point, you know? But I hate doing them, so that's what I just put myself into this state. And worst of all, I don't actually do the whole thing. I have a tax preparer. I just have to put it all together. But I even hate that. But she's been doing mine for years because I do too many things, you know, freelancing and weird income sources. And well, so helps to have a tax preparer because I hate to do this shit. Anyway, I kind of reach a point in late March, but especially early April where I can't work on anything else because I'm supposed to be in my mind working on my taxes. And I just kind of get frozen. Now, you add to that the fact I just had that oral surgery, which has kind of kicked me in the butt. I will admit, man, that's hit hard. So everything has kind of been at a screeching halt. And I try to force myself forward by putting this coloring book out. And I was lucky I could get this coloring book done. And it's how I kind of pushed myself out of my dark funkitude, you know? Had to try something. So the world gets a Doodlerama coloring book, and we'll see how it does. Onward, you know? And on into five chapters from The Star Seeds of Earth. We'll do that next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up, go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather, rinse, repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 51 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Early the next morning, Alibi wandered the corridors of the Hornet's Nest, lost in thought. He realized after a time that his steps had taken him near Aunt Anita's Arboretum. Even though she wasn't around as often, she had people on board the Hornet's Nest who took care of her indoor garden. Every so often, Alibi would stop by to breathe the greenish dirt-smelling air, to think, and miss her. He decided to drop in, and was surprised to find his aunt there amongst her plants. "Why, hello, Alibi. Aunt Anita, when did you get back?"
"Yesterday," she said.
"How are you doing?" She spread her arms.
"I'm fine," she said. "It's the universe I'm worried about." She frowned. "Things are getting a little hot out there, Alibi."
"The Greater Ta?"
She nodded. "That weak-willed idiot Constantine is going to give them Earth and the Solar Alliance. Everything we fought for. It makes me sick, Alibi."
"I'm sorry, Aunt Anita," he said. "I wish there was a way to... I wish we could stop them. Drive them back or something."
"I wish I could tell you what I've been working on."
"So do I," she said. "But we don't have the numbers to oppose them."
"Not directly, no." Alibi walked past an orange tree. He grabbed a fruit from a branch.
"Can I eat this?" he asked his aunt.
"Of course," she said. He began to peel the orange.
Is he here?"
"Oh, for Pete's sake, you can say his name, Alibi," she said, pursing her lips.
"No, Bill isn't here. Yet."
Alibi relaxed a little. He hadn't realized he'd tensed up.
"Another official visit coming?"
"Probably," she said. "The governor can't travel as easily as I can."
"Let me know," Alibi said. "You two out in the open yet?"
"No," she said. "We can't be. At this point, Constantine would kill William."
His aunt must have seen the thought cross his face.
"Alibi, don't you dare."
"I wouldn't," he said.
"But you thought about it," she said. "I saw it on your face."
"Only for a second," he said. "Besides, you think Constantine would believe me?"
"Good point," she said. She sighed. "I miss you, Alibi. I wish you wouldn't let what I feel for Bill come between you and I."
"I'll work on that," Alibi said. "But I don't trust him, Aunt Anita. I worry about you. Worry he's playing you."
"Do you?" she asked.
"Don't. I'm an experienced old lady, Alibi. I can worry about myself just fine."
"There are rumors out there."
"Of course there are," she said. "They're supposed to be. It's our cover story. And how Bill is playing Nico Constantine."
"Or how Bill is playing you both."
She gave him her, "Really now, Alibi," look.
"Then I am enjoying being played," she said. He looked down at the mess in his hands, happy to have a reason to change the subject.
"What should I do with this?" He held up the orange peel.
"Toss it on the ground under that tree there," she said, pointing out one near him. "It'll get picked up for composting later."
"Just here, on the ground?"
"Yes," she said, and laughed. "It's okay, Alibi."
"I'm not used to throwing the wrapper on the ground like that," he said.
"That's its peel. It's not a wrapper. Go ahead."
He laughed. He did miss being able to just talk to his aunt.
"You know, Alibi, you're doing a good job," she said. "You took what I told you to heart, didn't you?"
"I did," he said.
But it's not me, or not just me. As soon as I started to put structure in place, people kind of rose to the occasion. "Isn't that interesting?" she said, in her "look what you're learning" tone. "Turns out, people like a little structure," he said. "And that is instructive, isn't it?" she said. "We all want freedom, we truly do. We crave it. But we don't want complete freedom." "Well, that's not entirely true. There are always a few who really do. But a little structure makes most people more comfortable. You've removed a few big questions from their list of concerns and demonstrated they don't have to worry so much about the bigger picture. You see?" "But you don't want to create too much structure," Alibi said. "Do you?" "Of course not," she said. "You want to try to create a happy medium," she said. "You're doing well so far, Alibi."
Chapter 52.
"He is Demon Spawn!" Hap was raging again, mad at the world, angry at Ruth, and ready to kill Alibi Jones. He was sermonizing at her again. "Son of an assassin! He is now himself an agent of destruction, an angel of death!"
She didn't like it when he started to spit when he talked. It was a bad sign. And besides, he'd probably wake the baby.
"Heaven and hell greeted many new souls the day Alibi Jones blew up Kismet," he said. "This might be able to be forgiven in others, but not in a demon spawn. He is not mortal. He must be destroyed."
Ruth wished he'd save it for his church sermon. She'd heard it all already, so many times.
Hap stopped. He looked at her. "So many times," he asked. "Am I spitting?"
Ruth knew she needed to watch her thoughts better.
"Yes, you do, Mother," Hap said,
but he did not squeeze her brain. Not too much.
Chapter 53.
"Good evening," Alibi said to the security officer. She stood guard outside the room where they had the starseed stored. Grizz had someone guarding it 24/7.
"Evening, sir," she said with a nod.
Alibi found himself drawn to the starseed again and again. He'd had it locked away in a secure room near Chris's lab. Alibi could visit whenever he wanted, as could any of his top-level people. He closed the door behind him. It was quiet in the room. Blue-hued lighting made it seem cooler than it was. Alibi shivered involuntarily. The worn stone obelisk lay on a red padded cushion on the floor. The information downloaded had given him, when he first touched it, made him wary of contacting it again. Instead, he stared.
"What kind of power still hides inside of you? Should we use that power? Should anyone?"
Alibi's thoughts turned to Finder. He hadn't yet gone to see him in his cell. Grizz asked Alibi to give him some warning if he did, said Alibi's presence was likely to set off Finder. They were going to have to do something about him. Soon. Strangest thing is that he came to the Hornet's Nest looking to kill Alibi before Alibi had actually found the starseed.
Maybe he assumed I'd gotten one by then. Or his gift let him know I would find one.
Or somebody told him I'd already found one, and that I was keeping it from him. But who would do that? Shit. Guess I'll have to talk to Finder. Find out if someone sent him after me.
Alibi's wand chirped an alert.
What's that? Oh, Aunt Anita.
Thank you for coming, Alibi, Anita said, as he approached her in the Hornet's Nest ship bay's welcoming area.
You're welcome, Alibi said, determined to demonstrate how mature he'd become by not losing his shit, no matter how much he wanted to.
I know you don't want to be here, she said, but I think it's important for you and Bill to talk. You might have more in common than you know. This will be a good first step.
Well, Alibi said, I'm here.
Although I'm still not sure I'm ready to make nice with the local symbol of oppression, even if he is your boyfriend.
Shush, she said. You're slipping back into childish ways. You need to be a man now, Allie. Sorry, alibi. And you need to be here because he is the governor, and you are the head of the... Do we call it a base anymore?
Everybody's just been calling it the nest, Alibi said. Doesn't really feel like a base anymore, does it?
It's a small city, she said. I didn't see this coming.
And yet they just keep on coming, Alibi said.
He nodded at the passengers walking through the arrival area after disembarking from their flights into the hornet's nest.
Bill should be in this group, she said, as she scanned the crowd. There he is.
She walked quickly towards the new arrivals.
Bill, Anita called out.
He saw William Gentry sauntering through the crowd, two assistants carrying his luggage and other gear, attempting to keep up with him.
Hello, Anita, Gentry said. He gave her a polite hug.
Alibi, Gentry said, nodding at him.
Hello, Governor, Alibi said. He extended his hand. Welcome to the Hornet's Nest. Gentry shook his hand and looked at him quizzically.
Thank you, Gentry said.
He sounded suspicious.
My aunt has been explaining that a little respect goes a lot. Where's she going?
Anita?
Gentry called after her, as she turned and started running away from him and Alibi.
I'll be right back, she called over her shoulder. I think I saw someone.
Anita didn't believe in ghosts, but she was almost certain she'd just seen one. He looked old. As old as he should be by now? Maybe. So, not a ghost? Was he speeding up? She wasn't thinking when she turned and started to follow him. She just did. If Gentry hadn't called after her, she might not have said anything to him in Alibi. She chalked it up to her shock, but there were other forces at work as well. He'd always had a certain something, a pull on her. When she first spotted him, she'd thought their eyes had connected, but she then realized his were oddly empty. He walked by, staring blankly ahead, and now here she was following, or trying to. Where did he go? And why would he even be here at the Hornet's Nest, if he was alive?
That was strange, Alibi said, as the conversation came back around to his aunt running off.
She's not usually that impulsive, Gentry said.
Anita reappeared, running back toward them through the crowd.
I'm sorry, Anita said, out of breath, as she rejoined them. I thought I saw an old friend, someone from the project way back when, but I was wrong.
It's okay, we did the small talk thing, Alibi said.
We tried to talk about the weather, but you don't have any here, Gentry joked.
Chapter 54.
Hello, Finder, the man said, coming into view outside of his cell.
Who the fuck are you? Finder said. Where are the guards?
Napping, the man said. And I'm Father Kualima. But that doesn't really matter, does it? Kualima turned off the force field barring the cell and blasted Finder in the face with what felt like a fine mist and smelled like mushrooms and dirt. His face felt sticky. Kualima stepped out and turned the cell's force field back on.
What'd you do?
Finder asked. His mouth felt weird. He lifted up his finger to his tongue. Sticky. Hard to pull his finger off it.
Quick slime mold, Kualima said. Grows remarkably fast. Should fill up your mouth, nose, airways, sinus passages. All in seconds now. No more air for you.
The man turned and walked away. Finder tried to breathe in through his nose, but it was now blocked. He could feel the slime growing inside of his mouth, inside of his cheeks, on the roof of his mouth. He tried to scrape some out with his fingers, and they got stuck to his lower lip. He couldn't pull his hand from his mouth. He couldn't breathe. He tried to dislodge his fingers and pull his hand away. It came out. A thin whiff of air gasped through. Finder's throat then filled up with the quick slime, and again, He couldn't breathe. He wanted to get someone's attention, but couldn't yell. He looked around the cell for something he could use. The blanket on the bed. Finder thought he could throw it at the force field. Maybe the resulting energy discharge would bring a guard. He rolled up the blanket and threw it at the force field. The blanket was apparently made of a material that didn't interact with the field, and it simply flew through it to land on the floor outside the cell. He tried to pull in air. Couldn't. He couldn't breathe. His hands were blue. He could hear something pounding now. His heart was pounding in his ears. He flailed around out of anger and frustration. He threw himself into the force field. It bounced him back and knocked him to the cell floor, but didn't knock him out. He writhed on the floor for a few minutes more, a fish on dry land with gills full of sand. Then, Finder died. Chapter 55.
He's dead?
I'm sorry, boss, Grizz said. Someone got to him. Someone good. Hit him with quicksilver mold. Haven't seen that in a while.
Ooh, Alibi said. Wouldn't even wish that on him.
Yeah, kind of gruesome cleanup, Grizz said. Slow asphyxiation is no way to go.
Someone didn't want him to talk, Alibi said. Covering their tracks.
Why?
Well, Alibi said, I hadn't even found a starseed yet when he came here looking for me, and he assumed I had one, and was keeping it from him. His instincts are good, but I don't think they are, or were, so good they'd work in advance. Who told him that?
Oh, I see what you mean, Grizz said. Good point.
Can't believe he's dead, Alibi said.
Sounds like you're sorry to see him go?
Grizz sounded puzzled. He came here to kill you.
I know, it's just, I've known the guy for a while. And he wanted to kill me because he thought I'd betrayed him.
Like that justifies it, Grizz said with a laugh.
Don't be too nice, Alibi.
Should I yell at you for letting this happen, then? Alibi asked.
Can I vote no?
Sure, Alibi smiled.
No?
I'm not going to yell at you, Alibi said. That's so not my style.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, Grizz said. Or I wouldn't have stuck around here so long.
Thanks, Grizz, Alibi said. Let me know if you find out anything.
Will do.
Grizz cut the connection.
So, Finder is dead. Never even got the chance to talk to him.
An alarm on his wand alerted Alibi to a meeting he didn't want to attend.
Guess I should get going.
That was Chapter 55 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. And we heard Chapters 51, 52, 53, and 54, as well as 55 on this episode. Alibi, trying to make nice with his Aunt Anita and her new beau, Billy Gentry, Billy G. He's trying. And Finder is dead. That was based on some nightmares I've had. Sometimes when you write stuff down in dream journals, you can use it later. And man, I read it now and it still bugs me. And Alibi's about to attend a meeting that he doesn't want to attend. So we'll find out who he's meeting with and what it's all about on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, my book news is that there is a new Doodlerama coloring book out. A coloring book for grown-ups. Doodlerama, just $4.99, and you can find that at Amazon. And the links, of course, I should have mentioned this before, they're right at the top of MikeLuoma.com and GlowInTheDarkRadio.com. And that is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation,
copyright 2022
by Michael F. Luoma.
and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.